Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
We are back as we roll on with our Friday night edition of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Coming up in about 20 minutes, our guy Kevin Wheeler is going to join us for our weekly Friday conversation. We talk all things Cardinals with him. And then later on this hour, we're going to give you a snippet of the Gas House Gang as Bernie Miklas and I will talk through a few Cardinals-related issues. Generally, we run the Gas House Gang 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock here on KMOX. We won't have that for you tonight. We do have Slew Bilkins back. Basketball with coverage scheduled to begin at 9:15. They're the second game of two in Kansas City, and the first game is getting underway right now. So we'll see if they actually get that game tipped off at 9:30 or not. But nonetheless, you will have Bilkins basketball. But so you can get your Gas House Gang fix. We'll get a segment of that coming in towards the end of this hour. This was mentioned during top of the hour CBS News, and it's not too often that I'm talking about things that get mentioned on the national newscast, but I think this is, it's interesting, it's scary, quite honestly, and it's a good reminder to athletes that are out there. Professional athletes' homes are being burglarized, and it's happening a lot. It's happening fairly close to here. It happened with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mahomes evidently lives on the Missouri side of things. Kelce lives on the Kansas side of things. Both of their homes were burglarized. Late October, early November was around the time that happened. Some NBA players have had their homes burglarized recently. The home of Timberwolves guard Mike Conley Jr. was burglarized on September 15th. He was attending a Vikings game on November 3rd. Milwaukee Bucks forward Bobby Portis said his home had been broken into when he was playing a Bucks home game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. What's wild about this, and what's a good reminder of sometimes we don't completely know what's going on in the world around us, warnings have been issued to pro athletes from the NFL, NBA, NHL about this going on. The NFL did not mention this, but the NBA did mention this in their memo, saying that these burglaries, they believe, due to an FBI briefing that they got, these burglaries might be connected to a transnational South American theft group. So it is a well-coordinated effort, reportedly, maybe, possibly, of a transnational South American theft group that focuses in on homes of professional athletes. And, like, not to go down the path of being a criminal, but it kind of makes sense. What celebrities are gone from their homes in a very public way more often than athletes? You know, musicians, they go out on tour. But they're when they're not on tour, like you just with athletes, you know, and also, I don't know, I would think most musicians probably have a little bit more security on their homes than maybe athletes do when they're listening or when they're when they're away. This report from the FBI reportedly refers to the South American theft groups as well-organized, sophisticated rings that incorporate advanced techniques and technologies, including pre-surveillance, drones, and signal jamming devices. So, I mean, this is like, high-level criminal activity that is going on, and athletes are the ones who are currently being targeted. If there are any athletes listening to this, it's just a good reminder for you to probably have more security. Also, it might, if this continues to go down this path, it might get to a point where athletes are going to have to hire security to be in their homes when they are not there. And the names, like Patrick Mahomes can hire a security guard to sit in his house when he's not there. Travis Kelce can hire somebody to be there. Bobby Portis has a big con. Like, this is not, these are not guys who, if you're the last guy on a Major League Baseball roster and you're making the minimum, hiring a security guard, I mean, you make good money, but hiring somebody to be in your home when you're not there, that might be something that will take out a fair amount of what you make. But we're not talking about these guys. And those are the homes that are being targeted at this point in time. It's really kind of sad that this is going on. I remember the first time we had like a family funeral once when I was really little. And I remember that my family made sure that there was someone in the house of the person whose funeral it was when the funeral was going on, because they were worried about that. Again, that's another public sort of thing. Funeral notices go out. So if you're a criminal and you want to break into a house, that's a pretty good time to be able to do that. But this is a bummer. And I'm careful in what I talk about here because it's a sports show. It's not a political show, obviously. But I don't like it when you get reports about people coming in from outside of the United States with the idea that they are going to commit crime. And that seems to be what's going on right now, and it's very much connected to athletes, and you hope that it can end sooner than later. Again, and you just also hope that the athletes themselves, that they take heed to what is being said and that they do protect their homes. And the last thing you would want, you know, a lot of these athletes have wives, have kids. They're not at every single... What if Brittany Mahomes wouldn't have gone to... what if Taylor Swift, Kyle Sixta, what if Taylor Swift would have had a down evening and she just, you know, she was a little under the weather and she didn't have it in her to go to the Chiefs game. So she said, hey, Trav, I'm gonna stay at your house tonight. Don't tell anybody. We're going to lay low here. And all of a sudden, this transnational South American crime syndicate comes walking into Travis Kelce's house.
Not Taylor.
No.
that would cause an uproar across America, across the world.
Yeah, international incident.
That would be, oh my goodness, yeah. That'd be terrible.
So, just saying, not Taylor Swift. So that's what's going on right now with all of that. And that is something that we'll continue to hear about. I find it interesting, by the way, that in the NFL's memo to their players, and I'm not trying to do not take what I'm about to say as trying to make any point. I just find it to be interesting when it comes to the decisions from sports leagues on what to include and what not to include and what they tell players. In the NFL memos to the players, they made absolutely no reference to this transnational South American group, while in the NBA, they very much did say that. I would take that more seriously, by the way. If I'm a professional athlete and I just get a memo from the league that says, hey, athletes' homes are being targeted, be diligent, turn on your security systems, get a dog. If that's what I'm hearing, it's like, okay, what do I need to do? But when I get the memo and it's like the FBI says it's a transnational South American theft group and they're using very high level technology, they're flying drones over your house, they're doing pre-survey. That's another thing that's freaky about this. The idea, again, going back to Brittany Mahomes being home one day while Patrick is at practice, the fact that these groups are doing the surveillance and flying drones over homes, that's just not something that you want to have be a thing. So hopefully this is something that ends. Hopefully law enforcement is able to find these people and get all of this absolutely figured out. Coming up, we are going to be joined by our guy, Kevin Wheeler. We'll do our weekly Friday conversation. We do it every single week here on the program, looking back at the week that was for Carson Cardinals baseball. We didn't really have as much happening this week, so we just tackled a couple issues that we've been talking about a fair amount recently. So Kevin Wheeler, he is set to join us in just a moment or so. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It is that time of the week where we welcome in our good friend, Kevin Wheeler. You hear him on the Dave Glover Show. You hear him on the Gas House Gang. And on Fridays, he joins us for a little while for a Cardinal conversation. Hey, Kevin.
What's up, buddy?
You know, we were talking where when it's the Gas House Gang, you and I are always together on Mondays because it's all four of us,
right,
with Tom Ackerman and Bernie Nicholas. But this is our opportunity to kind of go one-on-one because so far the way the pairings have been, that's the one pairing we've
I'm sure
had.
It'll happen because, you know, it's going to move around for all of us at various points. But, yeah, so far, boss man Tom hasn't put the two of us together.
There is a
I think he's afraid, though, because, like, if you put us together too often,
it might go a little long.
We could ruin things.
Yeah. There's a rumor we might have a live in-studio edition of Gas House Gang at some point.
That might be happening.
Yeah.
I might not be here, though, if it happens when it's supposed to happen.
That's all right.
So we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. So I wanted to jump off a... We've talked about this a little bit, but I really want to dive in a little bit more on this. And it's something that Bernie and I talked about on the Gas House Gang today. There has been so much talk about the Cardinals this upcoming season creating room for young players. But if we take a step back, there's room for young players at the catcher's position.
Yep.
If Nolan Arenado gets moved, there's room for young players at third base and just all the dominoes that fall
all
down.
All the positions connected to that.
Yes. Yeah. There's room for young players in the bullpen. But right now, the way it is, there isn't really room for young players in the starting rotation.
Something, not unless you're going to change something.
Something's got to change there. And if they don't trade Nolan Arenado, there's not really room for young players. Like, the only guarantee as it sits right now is catching position and relief pitching. So if John Mozeliak and company is going to continue to say, we're creating opportunities for young players, there's going to be plenty of opportunity for young players, however he wants to say it, that clearly to me says there's still things that have to happen.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, look, you have to create at least one, if not two, rotation spots. Right. So you're looking, I'm sure that they're looking at moving Steven Matz and Miles Michaelis. But Miles has a no trade clause. So that's part of
that. I don't think he waives it.
I don't think so either. Yeah. I'm just saying I'm sure they're looking at it. Right. I'm sure they're going to explore it. And if you were to come to Miles and say, hey, Miles, the Yankees would love to have you, or another top contender, the Braves, like, I mean, it might be something that could sway a guy. But yeah, right now you got to create that in the rotation. You have to create that by moving Nolan Arenado. I think they will. I think the teams that lose out on Bregman are going to be interested in a great defensive third baseman who, in the right scenario, can still put up offensive numbers. I think this is a bad ballpark for him, and I think it gets into his head. And then he starts to change things, and then it starts to get kind of scattered, and it's hard to kind of bring it all back together. I think there are spots where he makes a lot of sense. If Bregman leaves Houston, I think he makes a lot of sense there. If the Red Sox, who are supposedly in on Bregman, if they miss out, he could make sense there with them moving Devers to first. I've heard rumors that they want to be heavy on Garrett Crochet and might offer up Tristan Casas, their young power-hitting first baseman. So if you do all that, like, if you put there are ways to do this. But, you know, let's go with the what if scenario. What if you can't move Miles or Matts? What if you can't move Nolan Arenado? Or what if the two guys with no trade clauses don't want to go where you want to move them? Now what? So here's what you what your possibilities are. You can move Eric Fetty. He'll have tremendous value.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that's
too.
A real, because he's a two for the Cardinals. He's like a three. Or
he's a four on the best teams.
Right.
On a good team.
If you can get somebody to buy him as a two, you do.
Yeah, probably. You probably don't get that. But 1 year at $7.5 million is, for a lot of teams that think they're pretty good. Like, again, I'll go back to Detroit would love a guy like that.
Yeah.
You know, Cleveland would probably love a guy like that. Kansas City doesn't need starting pitching, but there's a rumor that they might trade starting pitching to get a bat. That would, I mean, that there, you could literally write down, and it doesn't matter what market, every team can afford Eric Fetty, right? So, like, every one of these teams that we're talking about that are contenders that want a fourth or fifth starter or a third starter, he would be easy to move, in my opinion. I don't think you want to. I think you'd love to keep him and have him and Sonny and Palante ideally move one or two of the of Michaelis and Matts just because of their performance. But again, the fact that they make a lot of money and they haven't performed or have been hurt is going to make it tough to move them unless you're just eating a big chunk of the cash. So you can move Fetty. You can move Lars Nootbaar.
Yes.
You can trade Brendan Donovan. Now, I don't want to do that. I don't want to trade Donovan, especially because I think he's such a known commodity and he's such a stable player who can move everywhere you might need him to. But you can, and you would get a lot for him, which is the other part.
You would get a lot for Donovan. Right now, I think you'd be...
For Newt, it would be tough.
You'd be selling a little low.
Yeah, Newt for sure, because of the injuries.
If you compare to where it was 12 months ago, certainly... Yeah.
But, you know, look, you tell me Seattle wouldn't want that?
Oh,
they wouldn't want a left-handed bat who can play the corner outfield spots and get on base and steal a bag and hit some home runs?
And let's not forget his popularity in Japanese culture. There's a fit there in Seattle.
Yeah.
So not only does that have a baseball impact, that's going to have a bottom-line impact for the Seattle Mariners.
Hey, that could be a fit for the Dodgers. You know, they're talking moving Mookie Betts back into the infield, and, you know, we can say all we want about, ooh, that means they're after Soto. Maybe. But I doubt it. I doubt they're going to go after a $600 million guy after giving $700 million to Ohtani and paying Betts and Freeman and all the other guys. But they also have Teoscar Hernandez, who's a free agent. So, like, there are a lot of teams where that could be a fit. And, yeah, it's a tough deal to make because you're not going to get full value unless a team just loves the guy. And in that case, Ohtani's his boy.
Right.
I mean, like, that could be a motivator. And now, do you want to trade him there? I wouldn't hesitate. He's 27. It's not like you're looking at a decade of having to go up against some young star. But I guess that's my point, is there are paths to clearing the space that we're talking about, but it's not ideal. But then again, who says any of this is going to be ideal?
No, I don't think it is. You know, I saw something recently. I wish I remember who said it because I like giving credit. But reportedly, the Dodgers, like Shohei Ohtani, connected revenue was exponentially larger
than
what they expected it to be going into the year.
Yeah.
So that contract, they made more on it than what they paid him, even with the deferred money. So we can sit here and say that, oh, the Dodgers don't want to go sign another $600 million player when they just spent all this money on Ohtani. They made money on the Ohtani deal. That was not a...
Yeah, but you won't do that with Soto.
No, you won't, but that makes almost the Ohtani deal in many ways kind of revenue neutral.
It can, but it also puts you in a really wild spot when players start getting older.
True.
I mean, you're already looking at Ohtani into his 40s, at Betts getting close to 40, Freeman getting close to 40. I'm not now, but like at the end of their deals. So yes, for the next handful of years, next 2 or 3 years, you're fine. But boy, 4 or 5 years down the road, you could literally have $1 billion tied up in players that are old.
But you also don't know what the value of those contracts is actually going to look like.
You don't, but like, you still got that risk of, you know, I mean, Ohtani's on his second Tommy John.
Yeah.
You know, and if he's only an MVP caliber hitter, he's still not a $70 million player. That, although, like you said, you mean their revenue is going to be there for that. I wouldn't totally write it off, but I think it would be a mistake for the Dodgers to do that. I don't think you need to go at that level again for the risk alone. Now, again, maybe it's fine. But, like, who's to say that Soto doesn't blow out a knee or, you know, whatever? I think that you're tying yourself up needlessly when you're a team like that and a market like that, where all you got to do is sign some good players and you're going to be back in the World Series contention.
Where do you think Soto ends up?
I think Yankees.
Really?
I don't think they're going to let. Yankees or Mets. I don't think the Yankees are going to let him walk easily. He is so important to what they need to be. Left-handed power at Yankee Stadium is such a big deal. And having him and Judge together is just the perfect combination in the 2-3 spot in the order, however you want to order them. You can put one in front of the other. It doesn't matter. And he fits the ballpark. They have the money. The Yankees are like the Dodgers. Like, the money is never going to be that big of a problem. The only outlier there could be the Mets, because Steve Cohen can just be like, well, I'm the richest owner in baseball, so I'm going to give him whatever I want. And the question there is, if you're Soto, does that extra money buy you away from the Yankees? Because the Mets are pretty good, and Cohen seems to be an aggressive guy. But one of those teams does not have a track record of consistent contention over a long period of time, and the other one does.
And the only thing I would push back on that on is David Stearns is in New York now with
the
Mets.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's actually part of the reason why I don't think the Soto thing happens, because I don't think that's a Stearns move.
Maybe not, but he doesn't call the shots. The boss does. The owner does.
Yeah, but I think there's an agreement when he walks in the door with Cohen saying, okay, you've done things this way and it hasn't worked. If you hire me, I'm doing it my way.
You think you're going to tell a guy worth $10 billion what he's going to do?
No,
with his
and
money?
Again, Stearns may be all in on the idea of, you know, bring in Soto, but yeah, he still gets to do everything else his way. You know? And
yeah, right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So it's going to be interesting to
see. I think
it's
New York for him one way or the other. It's not a guarantee. I would say watch out for Philly, because we're starting to hear their name with him, and Philly has been aggressive on those guys. And keep in mind, like, Bryce Harper's contract's pretty reasonable.
Oh,
it's pretty reasonable.
You can argue he's he is the lowest paid player in baseball, just in terms of what he gives you versus what he makes.
The only thing that makes me worry is a little bit is the long-term commitment to Trey Turner, because he makes a lot of money also. But they're not super long-term on Zach Wheeler or Aaron Nola. I mean, it's long, but it's not like 10 years.
Right.
And Philly is a big market, and they've got an aggressive owner, so I wouldn't rule them out. But I think the New York teams make the most sense.
I do wonder what the conversations have sounded like with Miles Michaelis and Steven Matz. I have no inside information on this. But what I think has probably been communicated. I bet Michaelis has basically said that he doesn't want to get traded. He wants to remain a Cardinal. I think he's comfortable as a Cardinal. I think he likes training in Jupiter, close to home, all that stuff. I think for Matz, he wants to be a starter. So I think his approach to it is probably, if you can get me somewhere that locks me in as a starter, I'm good.
Well, he doesn't have a say anyway.
No, but I think, you know.
He's going to go where you send him.
You want to have those conversations. No,
yes, for sure. And I do think that there will be the opportunity to move him. There are going to be teams that lose out on the free agent starters that they want. There are going to be teams that are going, well, you know, for a 1-year commitment, if the Cardinals eat $2 or $3 million of the, what is he, 12 and a half that he's owed, 14, like that.
It started out 4-year, 44, but it goes up. I think it's 12. I'm looking that up right now.
So it's fine. I mean, it's something in that range. So if you get that down to 9 or 10.
It's 12 and a half.
Okay. So if you get that down to 10, eat a couple $1 million, that's a pretty good bargain.
Yeah.
Because as a bottom of the rotation pitcher, if he can be healthy, he's fine. He's totally fine. You might have to eat more than that if you want to get anything for him. But I think there will be takers on Steven Matz.
I don't think they want to get anything for him.
Fine. If you can just eat that contract, you can have him for, you know, cash considerations.
Why would you want to get anything for him? If you're trying to just open up a rotation spot for a younger player, which should be the goal, just get
him. If I could get an 18-year-old lottery ticket, I'd take it.
You can probably get that almost no matter what.
Yeah, well, then that's what you want.
Yeah, but I don't think you have to take on more money to get that.
Yeah, probably not. Depends on the quality of that 18-year-old, though. You know?
But from a lottery ticket standpoint.
Right. Yeah.
I think what you're getting.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you can get a little bit more than that for someone like Arenado, but only if you eat a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Like, if you want another team to take on the bulk of that, it's probably going to be, you know, you're going to be getting a lot less. You're going to be getting maybe guys that could be relievers someday. You're probably not looking at everyday player types, mostly just because of his performance. Like, if he had played well the last 2 years, there would be a huge market for him.
Mm-hmm.
And there still probably will be. There will be contenders that would love to have Nolan Arenado. Contenders who can look at their own lineups and say, man, we're solid 2, 3, 4, 5. If we have Nolan Arenado hitting sixth and playing elite level defense at third, that's plenty for us for a 3-year commitment. And the third year is only $15 million.
I wonder how it would work out with all the deferred money.
Yeah, I don't know. They would benefit from that because I guess they would still get the benefit from the Rockies paying a certain amount.
The Rockies still pay a little bit.
It's like
this
5 years.
Upcoming season.
Yeah.
Then everything comes off. He's getting money deferred. The way it works out is a portion of his 20 million of his 2021 salary is deferred annually. So that's going to be on the Cardinals no matter what. And then 30 million of his salaries from 2022 to 2026 are deferred at 3 million annually each year. So when they work out this deal, they would have to figure out
right.
how much of that money goes with the new team yeah. and how much sticks with the Cardinals.
Well, that's kind of where you're talking about that sliding scale, because yeah. that's treated the same way as if it were real-time money now.
Right.
Right. So if you're paying him, if you have him under your team's contract at 25 and 8 years, 2025, 2026, well, then that would be you unless you negotiate a deal with the Cardinals to make some other arrangement.
Yeah. He is going to get paid deferred money unless something changes through 2041.
Yeah.
That's a good life when you get a $3 million
pay. Yeah, I mean, it's still better to get it up front.
Yeah. But if you... It's not bad to get a $3 million check.
No, it's not bad knowing that's coming your way every year no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Gas House Gang, Monday, we've got our Cardinals Monday where it's
yeah.
going to be you, me, Tom, Kevin. You're right, Kevin. Bernie.
Yeah, Monday I think I'm going to miss because going to be on the road.
Okay.
I'm traveling next week. But I think Tuesday I'll be able to do the show from the remote location that I will be at.
Okay.
Parts unknown.
It'll
be my wife's aunt and uncle's basement. Which is where we'll be setting up with the internet connection. So I think that's me and Bernie on Tuesday. And then after that, you guys have it all figured out. But yeah. we're not doing it. Just a programming note. No Thanksgiving Day Gas House Gang.
That is correct.
We haven't done that.
No. That's
but
all right.
But we could be doing something fun, like you mentioned, in around Christmas time.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
We don't want
to
give too much
show,
away.
Maybe.
Yeah. Kevin, good to see you.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, have a good week as well.
I beat you to it.
All right. Very good. That's Kevin Wheeler. I'm Matt Pauly. We've got more coming up in just a moment. This is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Back at it for one final segment. It is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. No Gas House Gang tonight on the radio. We are preempted this evening, and we'll get back to our normal 8 o'clock slot coming up next week. Also, do want to remind you about St. Louis Billikens basketball. We do have that for you this evening. That's going to get started a little bit more than an hour from now, hour and a half or so from coming up pregame about 9:15 as they are playing a late one tonight. They are set to match up against Wichita State. That game is being played in Kansas City at the T-Mobile Center as part of the Hall of Fame Classic. So 9:30 is the scheduled tip-off, and our coverage is set to begin at 9:15. Because we don't have any Gas House Gang for tonight, we want to at least get you a little taste of it before we do call it an evening. For those of you who have gotten already into the routine of listening in every night from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Of course, you can always watch it or listen to it live 12 noon via the KMOX Sports social media channels. Myself, Bernie Miklas, Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, all four of us on Mondays, and then we pair up the rest of the week. Today, it was myself and Bernie Miklas, and we wanted to play a little bit of today's show for you as we got into a conversation about almost a worst-case scenario. We've spent a lot of time, and I think rightfully so, we've spent a lot of time talking about what if things go a little bit better than expected for the Cardinals this year? What if young guys do step forward? What if the pitching is able to come through and young guys are able to replicate what they got from people like Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn last year? Like, those are all the positive things, and I think I'm of the belief that if it's either going to go one way or direction, I think one direction or another, I think more likely the positive direction is where it goes. But I could be wrong on that. What if it goes poorly? What if Nolan Gorman continues to strike out twice a game and hit 180? What if Jordan Walker can't lay off the low and away pitch and continues to just pound the ball into the ground? What if those things end up happening? We've heard about the young players being given opportunities and to take pressure off of them by just giving them jobs. But at some point, you can't just let those guys do that and continue to play it out. I think the leash is longer But how long is that leash? That was something that earlier today I threw at Bernie Miklas.
Well, this is my opinion. I think they need to play as much as possible. And I think that you've hired a new hitting coach that could, in theory, make a difference. I think John Jay on the coaching staff will also help. He was a player. He knows what it's like to slump and to go through all these trials and tribulations. I think he can be a really good resource for Walker and Gorman if their confidence is down and they're really struggling. But if Ali Marmol starts yanking these guys from the lineup every time they have a bad week, and we sort of enter this maddening cuckoo cycle again. Oh, we're going to play the young players. Oh, Walker and Gorman, we think they're going to be special. We're not giving up on them. It was a bad year, but we're confident in them. Okay, once again, but if you're trying to win games and they're not helping the cause, you know, how quick are they pulled and how quick does this whole rigmarole start all over again? I think you need to avoid that. I think you got to let these guys sink or swim, and then you can make a much more informed decision about what happens next. I think you have to live up to the promise of giving the young guys an opportunity. That includes two guys potentially as important. Well, they not potentially, they're very important, Walker and Gorman. You can't say you're committed to giving these young guys full opportunities and then just renege on that as soon as they get into a bad slump. You just have to ride with it.
I agree. If we get to June 1st, if we get to July, like, at some point, I think we saw it with Victor Scott this past year. It got to a point where clearly him being in the big leagues was no longer good for him. I had no problem with when they finally pulled the plug on Victor Scott.
Right.
It was an easy decision to make. I don't want to see them get to that decision point. And maybe with those guys, if they get to that point this year with those guys, that tells you everything you need to know about those guys. Maybe at that point you have learned what you want to learn.
Well, you know, and Victor Scott was a first-time major leaguer, and he was probably here before he should have been. You know, although I don't want to be a hypocrite, I was one of the people that thought, hey, let him play. You need a center fielder. Give him a chance. And he really – He really had a hard time, and they made the right decision to send him down. But if you look at what Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman did in 2023, first of all, Nolan Gorman did a lot of good things in 2022. But if you look at as a tandem what Walker and Gorman did in 2023, it was really exciting. They were really good. I didn't say perfect. There were flaws, but they were really, really good. I mean, if you know, their combined slugging percentage was about 460. Their on-base percentage combined was about 335. I think they hit 262 combined. You know, just a lot of good stuff in there. Gorman drew a lot of walks. And then 2024, both of them just kind of basically disappeared from the face of the earth, and they were about as bad as you can get. So at least with Gorman and Walker, you know they can do it because you saw them do it a relatively short time ago in 2023, and you know what they're capable of. And that's why I think they need to be given whatever time they need to work through some issues, especially the new batting coach, maybe changing some things around. They need a long, long run of trying to work things out, because that's what this season has been set aside for. So you have to remain true to that promise, in my opinion. This isn't about winning games. It's about getting them reestablished.
I do think it was a good story, a good indication. John Denton from MLB.com wrote about it the other day. The fact that Brant Brown is already getting together with Nolan Gorman. We're starting to get a few more stories about Brant Brown and his personality and the way he goes about being passionate about teaching hitting and things like that.
Right. All
that matters at the end of the day is if guys actually get better hitting and we'll learn something. And we put so much stock into hitting coaches sometimes when we put too much stock into it. But it feels like what we're hearing so far is certainly good news.
And again, pardon the self-promotion, but I did a 35-minute video yesterday on my channel about how providing the information that, you know, Gorman can be fixed. Walker can be fixed. Long story short, Walker actually implemented changes in his batting stance and his approach late in the season, and he had a really strong September. His stance, Eduardo Perez picked up on it on ESPN. He was all kind of corkscrewed up, and you just understand somebody 6'5", how he was going to get a good swing where everything was all knotted up, and it just was awkward. Well, he finally got into a new swing and a new approach and a new stance, and after some patience, it paid off. So he seems like he may have turned a corner late last season. With Gorman, it's simply this. And I did a mountain of research, which obviously I ain't going to use here because I don't have the time and it might be boring. With Gorman, it's all about managing the strike zone. And that's not a revelation. We already know that. But specifically, he takes too many called strikes and he gets down in the count to pitchers. And it's 0-1, it's 0-2, it's 1-2, a lot of it because he's letting really good hittable pitches go by. And then once they have him set up, they throw him the change up, which he can't hit, and they have him at their mercy. He's got to establish control of the count. And this is not exactly like splitting the atom. This is like basic hitting. You know, just if you see a pitch, the pitch you're looking for, swing the bat. Don't stand there and look at it. I mean, this is what we teach little kids playing baseball, right? So that problem is solvable. And Gorman has got to just kind of clear his head of what happened last year. Listen to the new coach. And I know Brent Brown is big on that. Hey, you look for a strike early in the count and you punish it. Don't let these pitchers get away with it. And if Gorman can do that, I think he can have a bounce back season. And Walker's already made a pretty big change that will enable him to have a bounce back season if he can follow through on it.
I'm not trying to go all Kevin Wheeler or try to break down swings. I'm not the one to do that. But in baseball, we talk about being able to, you know, this applies more to pitching than hitting, but I think it's both. Being able to repeat a pitch. And if you're a tall, lanky person, it is hard to repeat a pitch just because of all the movement and everything. It's so much easier for something to get out of whack. To Walker's point, and I think we've seen this at times with somebody like Aaron Judge. As great as Aaron Judge is, he gets into these funks sometimes, and I think physically it's easier to get into a funk when you've got long legs and long arms and all, and there's so much extra movement that can occur because of it.
That's right, and I think that's the biggest thing with Walker, too. It needs to be more straight line, more streamlined at the plate in the batter's box. And he as you alluded to earlier too, you know, he's got to just lay off the low and away pitches because he's just getting himself out with that stuff. And people say, well, he's got to quit trying to hit home runs. I don't view Walker as a guy who tries to hit home runs. And if you're chasing low and away pitches, newsflash, you ain't going to hit home runs. So with Gorman, he's a home run hitter. It's just a matter of pouncing early on pitches, and his power will take care of the rest.
Not to be funny, but for Jordan Walker, don't hit home runs. Just get the ball over the head of the second baseman and shortstop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I learned a lot covering Tony La Russa for 16 seasons. I learned a lot, and we would have long, deep talks in his office after games. And I would ask him about everything, and he would grow into it in detail about his philosophy. And one of the things he believed and he preached, and his hitting coaches, especially Mark McGwire, preached, was that don't just concentrate on hitting the ball hard up the middle. Because it doesn't mean if you're concentrating on just hitting the ball hard up the middle, it means you're going to hit it hard up the middle over and over again. It means that you're taking a really good swing, and a really good swing will pay off. You're not trying to pull everything. You're not trying to hack at everything. You just want to make great contact, drive the ball up the middle, and the rest will take care of itself. That's a simple philosophy, but after watching La Russa's teams for 16 years, it's 100% correct. And that's so when people say that, they might think, you know, they're being, I don't know what the word is, but actually they're being 100% correct on preaching that, because that's the way to go about it.
Bernie, again, we are so thankful to have Saliga Heating and Cooling along for the ride here.
Yeah, it was a long time ago in St. Louis. We said, well, we needed somebody with heating and cooling. And we live in an old house, and some of the equipment was, probably needed to be changed. We're having more problems. So we need to find a new heating and cooling. So we went with Saliga, and it's one of the best decisions we've ever made. They've taken great care of us for the last 15, 16 years. But then again, this independent American Standard Heating Air Conditioning dealer has been taking great care of St. Louis families, generations of them, since 1927. So they'll be moving in on 100 years of business. And they're still in the same building down in Gravois in South City. So Dan Saliga is a fourth-generation family owner-operator. He will take great care of you because, listen, you don't have to believe me just because we're a Saliga family. Just look at the track record they've had. Nearly 100 years and still going strong. To me, that speaks volumes about how good they are. Think about becoming a member of the Priority Club because basically that's a maintenance program. You can get your AC checked before the hot weather hits. Make sure everything's ready. Same in the winter. Get your heating checked in advance. Make sure everything's functioning and you don't have any surprises. On one of those days, it's 8 degrees outside. Become a member of that maintenance club, but I also want to remind you financing options are available subject to credit approval. Look, all the services available. You just go to SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. Phone number's there, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. And thanks to Dan Saliga and our friends at Saliga Heating and Cooling for sponsoring the Gas House Gang.
That's a snippet of the Gas House Gang. Again, generally you can listen in weekday nights, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Not going to be on this evening, but most nights it will be. And then you can watch it or listen to it, but watch it live at 12 noon each day. If that's maybe when you take your lunch break, opportunity to watch and interact. You can leave comments and we respond to those comments. And then you can also always bring it up on demand. Just if you subscribe to our YouTube channel at KMOX Sports, you can go find all the previous editions, and you can watch it in addition to listen to it. All right, that's about going to do it for this edition of the program. Thanks so much for being tuned in. Again, SLU basketball tonight. Our pregame coverage begins in about an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes. 9:15 is when our pregame coverage starts. St. Louis, Wichita State being played in Kansas City at the T-Mobile Center. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. will have the call of the game. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will talk to you again next week for more Graybar Sports Open Lines right here on KMOX.